Okay. Tonight's topic, even though it sounds more highfalutin than it is, a prohibition of b'chukasei motelechu, I really want to touch upon, as I promised, to discuss something related to what we quote-unquote call the holidays, and that is, for some reason, it appears that everybody knows that when it comes to the famous holiday of the 25th of December, everybody knows not to come anywhere near that. But for some reason, Davin Oseinu HaRabin, when it comes to the week after, on the Bris, on January 1st, so that already has become something that has become more accepted. So I want to discuss tonight different aspects of January 1st, of what the Goyim called New Year's Eve. What? As far as people going to the New Year's Eve parties, you would never, you know, you never go, how's the Elohim, you would never go to Mass with your friend. But let's see what the difference is. What people go to New Year's Eve parties. People go, we'll even discuss things as far as what about even the lavush of what they wear? What about wearing the party hats? What about counting down? So on and so forth. We'll see the different things. It really it comes under, I believe, the topic of the chukasei motelechu. The pasuk tells us, Meforish, that you shouldn't go according to their ways. And I think that if we define this in some short terms, it's a very difficult topic. I had in my mind, not that we're doing this, I mean, this is literally a topic we can go on for a number of weeks on, to go to the different parameters. One involves dress, one involves, there are many, many different things. It's actually from a shiur that I, gave in another shul once, about actually decorating the shul on Shavuos. Maybe if you all forget this by Shavuos, maybe I'll give it again. It's a very interesting topic in itself and to discuss it. So of course, we have to start with a story. It's a quite amusing story, but it's a true story. A number of years ago, a rav in a very famous town in New York, in Brooklyn actually, he was very known for his very fiery drushas. And in this particular year, on Erev Rosh Hashanah, he was very upset about the way the community was befriending different types of causes that involved non-Jews, causes that they shouldn't be, and relations with them that wasn't proper, appropriate. And everybody knew that on Rosh Hashanah this is going to be the big talk. So on Rosh Hashanah, between Mincha Ma'ariv, meaning on Erev Rosh Hashanah, so he's going to start to talk about it. So what did he decide to do? So they finished davening Mincha. Everybody sits down. And the Rav gets up there, and he holds his watch out. And everybody's looking and looking, and he's holding his watch out, and he's holding his watch out. Finally, he gets a plop, and he goes, 10, 9, 8, ki yadua, 3, 2, 1, he stops, and he goes, Happy New Year! Says the Jewish New Year. And then, obviously, he gives this fiery drasha. This isn't what Jews do. He goes, Rosh Hashanah, Yom HaDin just started. This has just started, Mamish, today. This is it. Shkia has just passed. Do we look at the clock and say, okay, Shkia, 4:35, a new day is coming. Count it down. Lahabdil, maybe that is a good thing that we can take from it. That's kind of what they do. So we really want to see what the source is. And really, again, b'chukasei motelechu, of not going according to the ways, we need to define what it is on its most simplistic term. Can we go as far as we'll see to say that, if I could venture to say, what everybody is wearing tonight might be very, very problematic. And even if you go a step further and you say that, okay, I'll wear suits all the time, that in itself might also be problematic. If we have time, we'll see a tshuva that specifically discusses what our modern-day suits are. The Armani suits, we'll definitely discuss why the Bekesher and the Strimal became very popular, why the Litzifisher Rabbanim wear the kapata, the longer coat. So we'll see these in Yom. So first of all, as we said, it's a Meforish Pasuk that's written in the Torah of not going according to the ways of the Goyim. It's also a Gemara, which discusses the following thing, which we'll just briefly touch upon outside. And that is that the Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Yud Aleph discusses something called Sorfim Ala Malachim. It used to be a custom in the time that when a melech died, when a king died, in order to show honor for the king, this is the king of the Gentile nations, they would go ahead and take all of his clothes and all of his possessions And after his death, they would burn it. For what reason? The reason being is that nobody should get any benefit from his possession. Because he was such an unbelievable, saintly person, therefore, to show this, they would burn all of his possessions. Okay, so there could be another Shiloh about, which we could discuss at another time, about Baal Pashas. But this was a covet. So the question became, what happens if there was a Jewish king? What happens if there was a Jewish king amongst the nations? Would this be something that would be allowed to do? Or is this considered the chukah going according to the ways of the Goyim? So just briefly, the Gemara discusses again in Avodah Zarah, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, that this is not going according to the ways of the Goyim. And specifically, the Ran discusses this, and the Ran says as follows, just read it, I didn't copy it. He says like this, Sorkin al Malachim lo medarki ha'amori. Einu medarki ha'amori lachush lelo ta'ase kimaseyem. Lefi shelo asru Torah ela chuka shel avod chachavim elu tevarim shel hevu batela. So if it's something that's following the ways of doing avodah zarah, then you're not allowed to. But if it's just stama minhag of hevel, of really there's no reason for it, so therefore It's allowed. And therefore, the Sreifa al Malachim, what's the reason for it? Taimu, what's the reason? Ikal Lesarech Lechvodam Klei Tashmishim. To show covet for what they use. Lomar She'ein Adam Acher Oseh Asui Lishtamesh B'meh She'nishtamesh Bo. So nobody else is allowed to use it, and therefore, that's why they did it. And therefore, he allowed it. This will have ramifications. So if you look in source number one, the Rambam defining what this means, not going according to the ways of the Goyim, he says, "Ein hochim b'chukat ha'avodei kochavim, v'lo madimon lahen, lo b'malbush, v'lo b'shar kiyotei b'hem." And therefore, not going according to the ways, including not dressing like them, and things that are according to those ways. Lo b'chukas ha'goyim, as the pasuk tells us, you shouldn't go according to the ways of the goyim. And also b'chukas emotei leichu. And I skipped a little bit. V'hiya ha'yisrael moved on b'hem. We have to be different than the goyim. And obviously this implies in the ways that we dress, uvishar ma'isim, masav, kamoshahu, mudo mehem, right? And this is something that we know growing up. This is the way we were always taught, that Jews are different, right? The famous, when you got off the bus, right before you get off the bus, wherever you would go on a school trip, you would be reminded that you're not only representing the school, you're representing Klal Yisrael, you're wearing a yarmulke, you're different. Mistama, on a public school bus, they don't say the same thing. They don't say, you're different, you're from this public school. We believe that, yes, we are different, and we have to show. We believe in Chil Hashem, in Kiddush Hashem, that each individual Jew has this opportunity to be Mekadosh Shem Hashem. But we hope, especially in our time when other things happen, that each person, you're able to look at, somebody can look at him and go, oh, those are the Jewish people. Those Jewish people are different. And that's what B'chukos Seim Lo Teileichu. And so this is the way the Rambam holds. So it appears, at least from the Rambam, that there might be some problems with wearing the clothes of the Goyim. Now again, we're not talking about waking up one morning and deciding you want to dress like a priest. We are discussing what they wore in the times and how that applies today. So obviously the question becomes, how far do we go according to Spichuka Seimo Teilecho? Are we going to say that you really shouldn't in any way, shape, or form, go according to the ways of the Goyim? If you say that, then that would mean that you really shouldn't dress like them. Or are we going to say that people dress in a normal sort of way? However, there are certain dress that wouldn't be allowed. That's associated with, quote-unquote, the low lives of the Goyim. That's really what we're associating with. And we see that the Ramah, in discussing this halacha in Yoredeya, I think codifies the halacha very well, and he says as follows. Ella Yiyah moved on mihem, milibushav, vishar ma'asav. So what does that mean? V'chol ze eno asar, asar, what? It's not only us, it's also for what? Ela b'davar shenagbo, avar kachav l'shem priestess. So what are we concerned with when we tell you can't dress like them? Priestess. We're afraid that you're going to go ahead and wear things that are alluring, whether this isn't just talking about women, it's talking about men as well, and therefore that's not allowed. Kigon, shenagbo luvosh, milibushi adomim, that there was a custom by the Goyim, which is apparently discussed in the Gemara, that women are not allowed to, should not wear the color red, because that's alluring, and therefore they made clothes so that the women would be more alluring in red, and therefore that's a problem. The who, milbush, sa'arim kadomazeh, milbushe ha'pritzas, and different types of ministers would wear different types of clothing, and that would be considered priests.
This would be cultural and generational.
Most probably, yes, as we'll see. Oh, b'davar shenagu leminag v'chok v'ein tam b'davar. The ik, right? So what happens if you have something shenagu? It's a chok. It's not. This is what the minhag. This is what they do. Mishum darkei ha'amori. Right. This was done because the altahaim. This is what they did. This is a big problem nowadays, because nowadays many of the customs that the Gentiles have are not because of od kachavim reasons. Yes, originally they were. Take for example Halloween. So Halloween, I would say 99% of the people do not celebrate Halloween because they think it's a religious holiday. It's done because that's what they do now. However, obviously the sources are sources of Amori, sources of certainly in this case, in source double me that was of Avodah Zarah, right? We had questioned, Rabbi Neuberger questioned last week, whether or not Christianity is in fact Avodah Zarah or not, but that was Avodah Zarah Mamish. So the question becomes, even though nowadays they don't follow this and they don't consider Halloween anything, still, according to the Ramah, Halloween would be a problem. Why? Because the original minhag that was established of having a Halloween was very much because of following the ways of the Goyim, specifically talking about Avodah Zarah. The Yesh Moshemes Avodah Kachavim Yabudah Sehem, right? And so if it has a Shemes, if it has a smell, a Shmek of Avodah Kachavim, even from generations before, it's problematic. Aval Davar Shenagu, right? Oh. So what happens? Let's tell Ellis Kagon Shadarkan Lachol Mi Sharof Rofe Mumche Yeshlo Milbush Miyuchad. Right? Shanikova. Right. So what happens? You have nowadays. This is Chuvas that have discussed this. The doctors. So they wear special kovadik white garments. Right. They wear the white coat when they're walking around. Right. This is. I'm sure you've seen. From what I'm told, there are movies and TV shows. Right. Where they make fun and they mock this. Where the person goes into the janitor's closet and he quickly puts on the white doctor's coat and everybody walks around, everybody calls him doctor, right? That's milvush miyuchad. That people know doctor. Nurses don't wear it, and this one doesn't wear it. The doctors wear it. So what are we gonna say? That's chukas atom. You can't wear it. This is something that's miyuchad for the goyim. This is what the goyish doctors wear. So he says, no, but there's no reason for that. The reason for that is because we need to set aside who's a mumcha, who knows what they're doing, who's a doctor, who's not a doctor. So that's the way they set aside. Clearly, they're not going to start walking around. Everybody's not going to walk around with a big, you know, certificate around their neck that says, I'm a doctor and I graduate, you know, with their certificate from whatever school they graduated from. So this is the way, this is what they do. Therefore, he allows it for that reason. So it's mutter luvosh. V'chein shiyasa mishim kavo to tamacher mutter. Right, and this is essentially, there's a sheil tshuvas maharik, so he basically takes this word for word in his reasoning why this would be allowed. Therefore, that's why they allowed, as we discussed before, so from Amalachim, is Eino Durche Amari. Then therefore, when it comes to certain things, so this is the important Ramah, because the Ramah distinguishes between something whose number one is because of priestess. If we're wearing something because of the priestess lamb, and I'm venturing to say as well, if an action that we do, if something that we do is because it leads, it's because of priestess, and the original idea is because of priestess, or it leads to priestess, so therefore it would be a problematic. And number two, and most importantly, if it's because of a reason that even if the reason is not done now by the Gentiles in that way, but the original reason was set for something that involves the chukasem lo telechu, something that involves the avodah zarah, it's not allowed. So at least would say, according to this first reason, your New Year's Eve celebrations would be quite problematic. And simply because, let's not mistake, if a person is deciding tomorrow they're going to have a party because everybody is available because they get out early and it's time having a party, so I don't think we go as far as to say, well, it's the same night, you shouldn't do it, it's not appropriate. You know, obviously this is why, as I should have mentioned from the beginning, this is a very theoretical shiur, right? We're not passing halacha here. This is case by case. You have to ask your opposing. Right. If you call it a New Year's Eve party, it's problematic. If we're just discussing, if you have the TV on, right, and everybody's walking around, and then all of a sudden, at 11:58, it goes, shh. So that could be problematic. It's more problematic, I think, the people that are having this party, right, even though everybody's going to be, anyway, might be doing these type of things, but for you to have a party for so many people, I don't want to say, but that it's not just your problem. And therefore, so that, what is that? That's following the that for sure is a avodah zarah. There's no question about it. So you want to say, no, but nowadays, all the people in Times Square, you think they know anything about the bris milah of Yashka? Oh, come on. Doesn't matter. That's, I mean, again, that's really blatant, in your face, avodah zarah. So there's a lot of questions here. People ask, it's unbelievable, about what is chukas zarah. I'm just giving you some examples to throw out to you. So, you know, you have, obviously, Thanksgiving, right? So Thanksgiving has always been a big question. Is Thanksgiving usher because it's the chok of the Akum, chukas Akum? We shouldn't go according to their ways, right? And therefore, turkey should even not be allowed. So many have discussed this. There are Rabbanim who say it's a problem. But many, many say, what are you saying? What's the problem here? The source of it certainly is not Akum. For what are they doing? Thanksgiving. So we hold from Thanksgiving. In fact, every day we say Mizmor L'Soda. We say a praise of Thanksgiving. So to say that that's problematic. But turkey, so turkey's own, we can have our own discussion about turkey. There's no Masor for turkey. Maybe turkey's also. Rav Shachar doesn't eat turkey. Okay. So that's a shiur within itself. But to just come out and to say, to have a get-together with your family, a suda, whatever you want to call it, and even to mention that faith, and even to have the traditional food, is that really Chukas Akam? We go that far to say it's Chukas Akam. Where did they get that from? So that's my segue. Yeah, so some people say that it's a big problem. Some people won't write the year, like on checks. They say it's also to write 2000. I mean, again, that's certainly a vote of Zara. What? Who's that? Yeah. Right, oh, yeah. Right, because, exactly, because. Right.
It's not associated.
In fact, it's somebody, the same thing, then, somebody pointed out in Rabbi Neuberger's shir that I assume that this is true. The person wouldn't just say this. The majority of people in the world are not Christian, right? So it's somewhat amazing that everybody in the world, I do business with people all around the world, everybody calls the year 2003, 2004. But nobody says, no, it's the year from when Allah ascended. Nobody says that. We are one of the few people who actually, Baruch Hashem, one thing that they still have in Eretz Yisrael and all the calendars, if they still quote what the year is, what the real year is. But, right, so it is questionable because some would say the basis of it, what are you saying 2004 for? What are you saying 2003? What's the source of that? That's 2003 years since when? Since Dan would just pick the date? Of course not. So that is the source of it. But the question is, to write it down, what's the chukah of Akum there? What's that going
to
lead to?
No, I'm just talking about going back to, I could say most people in Times Square do not know what they're doing. They're celebrating the change of the year, like anything.
Right.
You know, they close the business, they're closing business for business legal kind of thing.
Is that the reason why the celebration?
The Glenn is machlokas and when he was born.
Right.
So you know,
yeah, but you also have what we
don't celebrate it.
Right. But you also
celebrate it, but not the same thing.
Right.
So they believe it later.
Right.
So you know,
they don't understand the end of the breast, but it's the breast
it's not even universally expected that it is.
There's certainly a lot of I think one could say, first of all, one of the things that they do is they have New Year's resolutions. So what's the idea behind New Year's resolutions? So maybe they probably pretty close, if we can say, they probably stole that from what we do, right? That's, we're supposed to have these resolutions. It's not a gracious it is, but it isn't. Meaning, we're on the month of Elul, we're supposed to make resolutions, and we're supposed to say the Ribbono Shalom. And that's what the joke is. The joke is that, at least the jokes that they make, is that what kind of resolutions generally they always make resolutions that they can't keep, right? And by January 15th, I can't believe I didn't lose the 60 pounds I promised I was going to lose. And they didn't do this, and they didn't do that. So we believe in Yahadus, we're not supposed to do that. Even if a person is mamish off the derech, and he's going to say, okay, from now on, every day I'm going to wear tefillin. And he knows he's not going to wear tefillin every day. So he's allowed to say, you know what? Once a week I'm going to try to put tefillin on. Right? That's a New Year's resolution. That we believe is mutter. And I think that's where the people are going wrong that make these quote-unquote resolutions, is that they should say, I'm going to work out once a week. I never worked out ever. I'm going to work out once. But so then you have the question, can I make a New Year's resolution? I say to myself, you know, it's a good time now for me to be chozer b'tshuva. Oh, but it's New Year's Day. I can't be chozer b'tshuva. I can't say I'm going to put tefillin on once a day. And to say, my New Year's resolution is, right, Maisa Shalya, a person comes over to you and he says to you, hi, I'm from the New York Times. We're going around the street. We're asking people, what's your New Year's resolution? You have to go to him, excuse me, Kukas Akum. I can't tell you New Year. I don't have New Year. My New Year's resolution was 3 months ago. Okay, you know. The old joke when you wait. What's also interesting is that we get many arayas from what the school calendar is, right? So many schools, what's Y and J, they often? Right. So again, back to my Chodesh B'Tshuva days. So the Hafter always used to give off on New Year's, right? And the big joke was, on Erev New Year's, you always would say, see you next year, see you next year. But, so you always said to that, mean New Year's must have something. Must be for some reason. Some schools give off on New Year's. Why?
No busing.
Right. It's easier. You're not in economy. So to take off on Christmas, Mamish, that's terrible. So that you show, you're taking off. Oh, it's a. So, but what's the.
Hanukkah.
Right. So, but you're correct. And that's really what the discussion is tonight. How far are we going to go? Right.
Does any of this fall into Din Demakos Edina, like, for instance, like the check date?
Yeah.
So in this country, I mean, like, you know, there's a law, you have to write your date on it. You're not going to write.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Does anything fall into that, you know? But,
right. No, possibly right. And it's probably along the realms of it being also a Chil Hashem. And if a person is Makvid, he's the type of person who writes on his checks, whatever, Kislev, whatever, and people, what's going on here? There's ramifications. Din d'machus adin of when checks can be cash, a year, half, you know, some banks won't. So you're right. There are certain times where, and also, writing the date down, so the question is how far that goes. What we'll see is so interesting is that, you know, you're going to say, well, we say B'chuk Hoseim L'Teleich, so now we've saw the reason of the Ramah. What's interesting is that the Gra, in number 3, doesn't agree with what the Ramah says. The Gra actually is strict. And he says, don't give me this idea of if the reason is for sure or not. He says, no. As long as it's Miyuchedet Lahem, that this is the dress that the Goyim wear, therefore, you can't wear it. And many have questioned this gra and say, what is he talking about? Does he mean, I'm just taking this as an example because we'll see it later on, we'll take the suit, right? So we believe, how's a person mechabin himself, right? And we know this is you feel this way too. When a person puts a suit on, they feel different, right? They feel different. You know, you feel more confident, whatever it is. So, isn't this the malvush of the goyim? The goyim put a suit on, they also, this is the way that they do. Where did we come from? So where's the minhag to wear 4-button suits? 5-button suits? 6-button suits? 3-button suits? Is it from Borough Park? No, you're joking, but that's the question. Is it just a reason? Or?
That's what they make.
What?
That's what they make.
That's the style.
Right. Right.
No, that's what they make.
You're saying something like wearing hats should not have been...
Wearing what?
Hat. 1964, it should not have been worse.
There are those that say that. There are those that say you can't wear suits. I'll tell you straight up. There's a whole sect of orthodoxy.
Wait, I'm saying, so in other words, 1958, they were not.
No, so this is what they're saying. The reason why the Hasidim wear the Bekish and the Shrimals, even though that's what they wore, for argument's sake, in the 1700s, they said, you're right, in the 1700s it was also. But when they stopped wearing in the 1800s, that's when we took it upon ourselves. Then it's not Chukas Akam anymore. Then we started to wear it. Nobody wears us. That's not Chukas Akam anymore. You're 100% right. It's very problematic because, let's take for argument's sake, if you think of a designer who's not Jewish, so you take Tommy Hilfiger. So Tommy Hilfiger makes a suit. And are you telling me that when his people are making suits, they're thinking Goyish thoughts? No. If you came up to Tommy Hilfiger and go, listen, do you restrict your purchases only to, will you allow Jews to buy? Do you care?
Don't go with that. He doesn't
want that. Yeah.
He was just off the same Jews are black, not
black
clothing.
Really?
Yeah.
Black clothing.
Black clothing.
Okay, bad example. No, so are we going to say, and in fact, some people would say no, if you look at the numbers there, they're the big buyer, whatever it is. You're right. So that's really what we just talked about. Focus. Clearly, we hold from this. The question is, how far do you go? So let me just give you the middle sheet. The middle sheet is that you have people who only wear suits, right? Quote unquote, the yeshivish people. So what does it mean, yeshivish people? So they wear black and white all the time, right? You go into the yeshivish closet, black and white, sometimes yellow and black, because half the time the shirts, you know, depends how rich they are. So, you have, so where does that come from? So, the question becomes, so where is that from? Is that also, so they say that's what they used to wear in the olden days, so on and so forth. You know, I'm listening to some very, very interesting tapes. Rabbi Rakefet has a series that was put out by the OU on the Rav. He talks about the Rav. And those who know Rabbi Rakefet, he's interesting is not an appropriate word. He's more than an interesting speaker, and he says what he wants to say. So he tells a story where he met, this goes back, this is only a year ago, so he met one of the new Rosh Yeshiva in YU. And he starts talking to him, he said, I never knew he was a Rosh Yeshiva, so I'm talking to him, and he goes, so what's with you? He says, what do you mean? He goes, look at you, you're wearing the same garb like the yeshivas, like all the yeshivas, the black, the white, you don't even know, the black hats, you're wearing the, is that what you believe? That's what you believe you have to wear, because the same lotelechu, is that, right? So part of the belief is that no, we can't wear a plaid shirt. We can't wear a, because that's, so that might not be because of Bichu Gosei Motelech, although some would say that. Some would say, suits is something that's very, but to wear, this is not a joke now, to wear a four-button suit, so that's already going according to what the times are. And we don't want to be too close to what the times are. I don't want to have to go to a meeting with someone and then they say, oh, look at you. To give you an example, I went, my wife says I had vacation today, although I think I have vacation 5 days a week and not on the weekend. But so I went, we went shopping today. Maybe that's vacation. So we went to, when I found out I needed new clothes, my wife told me. And right, so when I need to buy shoes, right? So I go into one of these shoe stores and they're showing me shoes. And so the guy said, so my wife picked out the shoes that she wanted me to wear. And, right. No, so what does the guy say? The guy says, he says to me, the Gentile, the male of the Gentile, he says, oh, these shoes, you know, he's trying to be a little bit of a salesman, although I'm also a salesman, so do me a favor, don't try to sell me the shoes. Don't try to be a salesman to a salesman. So he says, this is the new thing. This is in the da-da with this and that. This is it. So I said, you know, I'm giving the shear about it tonight. I don't know if I should. I said, well, it's a good story, though. Yishkayach. I said to my mind, I didn't say to him, Yishkayach. And, but, so, how far do we go? Do we go with the new trends? Or, as the male they follow, do we go with the 40-year-old trends, right? So the black suits still, it's in, but it's not. Question is, how far? Or, so they just want to distinguish themselves. It doesn't really have to go to the Chukosei Motei Lech. Oh, fine. Right. No, because, you're right, there's no, I'm not buying.
That's not even style.
Right. I'm not buying. You're right. You're right. And this is what we believe. Obviously, we believe that we can dress similar to them, and is because we are buying things because we're buying things. And we'll see what Moshe Feinstein says about this. He says, even the garage didn't have that in mind. That
stores are not going to sell what they sold 4 years ago. I mean, you have to go.
Right. You got to go to a very special store.
Where does that end? I mean, if the goyim eat dinner at a table, we have to eat on the floor.
Right. Right. No. Right. Right. The old oxygen joke. You know, they went to Rebbe, and he says, the Chukosei Motei Lech, he goes, yes, they also use oxygen. You know, well, okay, so how far are you going to go? You're 100% right. And also what's become is that people have taken some of the, quote-unquote, minhagim, and they said, oh, no, you know, you can't do this. You can't, for example, somebody told me this, you can't have a birthday cake because that's Chukos Ha'achim, because the Goyim have birthday cakes. So yeah, that's the answer to the joke, is that you say, yes, the Goyim also breathe. Go somewhere and don't do like the Goyim. You know, like, the question is, how far does it go? I don't know, I think I mentioned this maybe a week ago, 2 weeks ago, I don't know if I went into this or not, right? So I went to some friends of mine that are Baruch Hashem more religious than I am. So we went to a party, and we're riding, it was in Brooklyn, and, they're from the Borough Park world. And my wife is telling me the whole ride how terrible it is, she forgot to buy presents for the kids, it's terrible. I said, just, all you gotta do is say one thing. When they say, oh, we don't buy gifts, it's a Goy Shazach. Just say that, right? So I said, it's a Goy Shazach. And he goes, no, it's not. Buying presents on Hanukkah is not a Goy Shazach. And he takes out a staple and he starts to show me a source, which is a beautiful source, that apparently when they used to play dreidel, so not only did they, so the kids, they were, had pachad, we said this last week, they had pachad, they didn't want to, learn Torah, they said they promised them presents, the gelt, they promised them gelt. And then he said, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky had a further reason, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky said it's a minhug to give the teachers gifts during this time, if it wasn't for the teachers of those that taught Torah, we wouldn't have Torah nowadays, and therefore you're giving the teachers gifts. You should give the kids, thanking them for listening to the teachers. Okay. So, but to some say, as a joke, I said it, but I'm sure people will tell you, oh, it's a goy shazah. You gotta be careful. What's a goy shazah? What isn't?
What are we supposed to do when, maybe it's not obvious, but there's so many things that the goyim do that have copied us. If Hanukkah
right.
copied
right.
gifts, Halloween is Purim.
Right.
I mean, all these
kinds of... No, no, so that... But wait, but to celebrate Halloween when Halloween is, that's probably... I don't think that's much
right,
debated.
But for us to take on costumes on Purim, doesn't say anybody's
wearing costumes. It does by Purim, yeah.
Oh, yeah sure.
It says that the Mishloach Manos originally were done for Matanos Levionim reasons, to give it out to people, and the kids used to go, and they would wear a mask. That's a good point that you're making, is that people need to realize, and that's why they need to ask a competent Rav, is this really allowed, is this not allowed? Or... You generally know from the way that the minhagim of the time, people have birthday cakes, people have birthday parties. Birthday parties is not a goyish thing. It's mentioned that you're supposed to have a birthday party. The halacha mentions. The person's 80 years old, it's a great zechus. So, let's look at them with them. Yeah.
Most things have their sources.
Right, a lot of things have their sources. There are things that are, the way I want to say this year is that I think there are things that are just very black and white, very obvious. And we know that this is things that you shouldn't be doing. These are things that you should be doing. And I think that's what is going to come out to be what the way that many of us hold. So let's just look at the Minchas Chinuch, who says that. And this is discussing about the Strimel and things of that nature. That's number four. Tavi Yadua. So what does it mean, Bichlo Seimut Omer? Who b'chol dor b'dor, mishtana l'fi mubusham. Right? Look what you said before. It changes. So that we can't say what they wore, and therefore vaday in the yomer harishonim hayuvloshim bevushim acherim the ataloshim bigdem acherim bevaday asurim the yisrael leilech kimavushim haham asher nogu bahem ata bechein hu beloshon they said the Rambam holds. So this is the question becomes how far do we take the minchas chinuch of the rel? Benirli pashim lefizeh the mutter li yisrael. Leilech, b'mushashayim, hakadmonim, right? So this was the old Strimel question. Why they do it? Because that's what they used to wear. So the bias suit from 1942, tzmutzim. I don't know if you get a job. Asher agoyim azuata. Kevin she Yisrael neker b'mushav. Right? This should be different. Right, so then he would say, so the four button, well, is it out already? Whatever, the five button suit now. So that could, according to this, is a problem. Megam mitzad, right? Okay. It depends with some. Yeah. That's what he. But again, so the question is why? Well, why? Why is that chukos sein lo tilechu? Is that really? Are we going that far to say that's a problem? So I just want to go back to a point that I made before, thinking that in my mind. I don't want people to misunderstand what I'm saying. One of the reasons why, so I should set the table off for this. But like, so I to be honest with you, I don't wear a white shirt and black pants all the time. So why when I come to the shiur, right? They're not taking that. It's not a video shiur, so nobody's going to see. So the reason is because, but that's different. So people generally dress is also because of kavod. A person wants to dress a little bit nicer. As we said before, a person wears a suit, a person wears a, right? So to come in with the, so that's the question of how far b'chuk ha'sein lo teilechu goes. So I don't know if the people who hold that you have to wear a suit all day and the hat and this, if that is because only b'chuk ha'sein, because they want to be different. It's also because you have to be somewhat kabbadic. And the question is, how far does this person go? Rav Shechel discussed this about how far we go as far as... many people ask about jeans nowadays. Dungarees. He uses the term dungarees. He says, so is that befitting of a Jew to wear? Not because B'chuk Hashem Lo Tilechu. Is it befitting of someone who is a Tzelem Elokim to wear? Is it befitting of someone to wear? Right, so this goes into the shorts and it goes into the... Okay. But this isn't necessarily B'chuk Hashem. It might be, according to the interpretation of Pritzus, so this could be somewhat of an issue. That even though, again, as we said before, there's also different types of Pritzus, meaning just because something covers all the proper places that a person has to have covered doesn't mean that it's not Pritzus. And there is a very serious problem. A person should realize that if a person, whether man or woman, is wearing something that is Pritzus, not only has he or she violated it being not chiyastic, they probably has also violated b'chuk ha'sein lo teilechu. Because not only are they buying this, they're buying this because this is in style. This is what the people wear. But number one, it's not chiyastic. And number two, according to the Ramah's interpretation, it's problematic. So to understand this machlokas, we look at what Rav Moshe Feinstein tried to interpret as far as what we should be wearing today. and he says like this in number 5. Begam lag ein shayach iser mevushei nochrim. The high kimat kol yisrael loshim mevushem elo. Right, everybody wears suits. Everybody wears. It's from Moshe Feinstein talking. Vim kain mi omer shem mevushei nochrim beyisrael loshim bekein. Why is this called goyisha garments? In fact, there are many Jewish manufacturers that make Jewish clothes as well. The kal mevushim umadu alo neamar. How far are you going to go? But the important point as well is, v'lachein, af. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. L'chein, af, but listen to this. L'chein, af, ha'gra, she'sover, d'chol, mevush, ha'myuchedet, l'nachrim, also, gam, kain, hu, mati, v'godim, she'haynu, loshim. The people wear outside, that's also, he wouldn't say that that's outside. When he talks about, he's talking about the clothing that's a miyucha to goyim. So maybe we can say, I'm not saying Rav Moshe says this, maybe we can say something like a jeans, or something like jeans that are ripped. You know, that's, when you think about goyim, when you think about the guy that lives in the Midwest, so that, you don't want to look like people like that. That's not, that might be what he's talking about. That might be inappropriate. Again, open for interpretation. But clearly where Moshe says, not only do I agree with the Ramah, I agree with the Gra. And just so the person can get an understanding of how far reaching this is, there are many, many, many different ramifications to this, just to give you some of them. So we discussed clothing. Rabbi Goldwasser had mentioned this, and one of them is, again, we're talking about the same Lotelecho, is secular names. He had mentioned the Maharam Shik, who discusses in a tshuva in Yerodeah, about keeping a Jewish name, right? So this Musa really came to me. Because I have to confess again tonight, this is the CD shouldn't go on the web. So first of all my shurim, if you kept the source sheets, which probably none of you have, stand at D. Hartstein. The reason why it says D. Hartstein is because my Hebrew name is Dov. Shocker of shockers, and my English name is Daniel. However, my Hebrew name is not Daniel, although Rabbi Neuberger calls me Daniel. And this is what my parents decided to do, and to call me Daniel Mark Dov Menachem. And I've gone my whole life as Daniel. And in fact, when I asked permission of my parents, and I think this has a lot to do with Kibbutz Avim, and I asked them permission to change my name to Dov, it was not a joke, is when I started working for the Ministry of Defense. I said, I'm working with Israelis. It's not like, you know, I always was afraid, Dov, that people can start calling me Dov. I hate that, Dov. I don't want to be called Dov. I said, Dov, they know what Dov is. So I went and I had my interview and the whole thing, and I said to them, by the way, I'm changing my name. Dov is, I want you to call me Dov. So they said, you can't change your name. I said, what do you mean I can't change your name? If your passport says Daniel, you're Daniel. This is the B'chukaseyim. This is the cloak of the... We're not going to call you by another name, security reasons, whatever it is. So I stuck with Daniel then. Okay, in the middle, I've stuck with Daniel through time. You see, the other people who, you know, if your name is Yosef in Hebrew and you're called Joseph, so it's not so bad. But Daniel and Dov, okay, whatever, so you should know. So he discusses about Jewish names. So, in fact, he changed his name, the Maram Shik, as Rabbi Goldwasser alluded to. His last name is not Shik. Right? He's not the one of the descendants of the famous razor fortune. So why Shik, right, or the Shik? Excuse me. I mean, more important, Shik is Shem Yehudi Kadosh. Now he changed his name so that people should realize that the name of a Jew is Kadosh. And he wrote tshuvas about this, how important it is to have a Jewish name. And the reason why he wrote this is, as Rabbi Goldwasser said, the background behind this is unbelievable. Where some a guy came to him and he said to him, how come all you Jewish people are taking our names? Right? They walk in the street, John, Paul, Mary, whatever, they're all getting these names. How come? Did you run out of Jewish names? I mean, it really, really bothered him. And that's why he wrote this tshuva about it and how it is. Okay? There's also a tshuva in the Malamin Behoil about an organ in a shul. Is that the Chukasem Lo Telechu? Because that's what they did in the churches. Flowers on grave sites is another tshuva. Right, so I think that, if I'm not mistaken, the Rabbi Neuberger. Right, so I think he says no, Lam Lahoyel. It's a question. So then you have the flowers on the grave sites. Is a question that the Sfidei Eish discusses. The military funerals, 21-gun salute. In Eretz Yisrael, they have this minhag. Monuments, memorials, one of the most famous things that are discussed in many tshuvas.
That's different,
sir.
Is military considering...
Is that considered chukas ha'akam? We may know, also by the moment of silence. The question is, where does that stem from? Is that a moment of silence on Yom HaZikaron, right? On Yom HaShoah. So the moment of silence, I'm sure you know the controversy. Right, so a lot of people unfortunately, stories about how, just an obvious disrespect, that they say it's chukas ha'akum, and therefore when the siren goes on, you have chassidim that keep walking. So that's, I think, just a halchil Hashem issue, where they're probably violating a issa deraisa to bring a point that might be an issa derabanan, which probably isn't. But you need to be sensitive. I mean, you could have someone walking there who lost his entire family. You know, so that's a different issue. But it really discusses, again, with monuments and so on and so forth, we're not doing the b'chukos ha'imotei lecha. We're not doing it for the reasons to follow the goyim. And this is really what the ikar is. Are we doing it for the reasons to follow? So the gra seems to be, if you interpret the gra like this, at very, very strict. And he says, we need to be very, very careful while we're doing it. Maybe people will misinterpret it. Maybe they'll think, oh, look, this is the best form of flattery to imitate us. And maybe that's what they're going to say. But really, if it doesn't have its sources in Avodah Zarah, it's probably not as problematic as we think that it is. Just to end off, I found an interesting tshuva that you would think, and it can't be in our modern day times that people would actually venture to say that there are problems. But listen to this. There's the tshuva of Hanagas from Sturmbach, who's currently living in Eretz Yisrael. So he discusses about wearing, in the beginning, I didn't understand what this tshuva is about. It says, Im mutu livvosh chalifos kitzaras kederach ha'akom. So I said, I knew chalifa was a suit. What does it mean, short suits? I could not figure it out. I just figured it out. The yeshivish people, they wear longer coats, right, to distinguish themselves. One of the reasons is because the same looking label. The chassidim obviously wear longer coats. So he's saying, is it mutter to wear a suit nowadays? So he says that clearly the Ramah holds that this is an usher nowadays. He says, min hadin, ein iser el lubosh, mivush hamiyuchad lahem, kidei, right, lihimados lahem, v'hayno im bi Yisrael nagum livnei hatznios in lubosh yachit. So he quotes, this is basically what he says, what the Ramah says, and therefore he doesn't think it's a problem. However, he quotes that the Chazon Ish would always wear a longer coat, so he says, they asked him why once, and he says, because I don't want to be like the goyim and dress like them. But he says clearly from the Ramah, there's no iser of wearing suits nowadays, and even according to the Gra, and he's a descendant of the Gra, that he's cholik on this, im osin kach rachudei shekach minhaga olam, dahaino akim gafiyah nira haminag Yisrael, so he says he's not so sure if that's the reason why we wear it nowadays, and that might even be. Aval adas ha-Gra, yesh l'sadid l'iser, kevan shebeli ha'akum lo hayu l'vusham. V'af, now obviously Rav Moshe says no, v'af she'ein b'zeh pritzus osar. Aval yesh l'mar shebizmanenu, elo shelvusham kain, eino kain l'hamdos ha'akum chas v'shalom. Elo l'shem yofi, we wear it because we want to look good, and therefore it's not a problem. But what's interesting, and what I went on to quote, is the last part of the tshuva is unbelievable, and this is also, I didn't understand what he's talking about. Omnam, harbe yirim nohogim, those that are, many yiras shemayim, are noheg, lishanos shehakaftur, letzad yamin below letzad small. What's he talking about? Yeah, that they put the buttons, so we made like a woman, right?
Yeah.
Really interesting. So the buttons are generally on the right side, and they put it on the left side, right? L'shanot l'sad yamin. Oh, I'm sorry, no. So, but our buttons are always on the right, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah. So let me just read it again. She'ein shepasuk. I'm sorry. So he says, Noagim l'shanot shehakaftor l'sad yamin v'lo l'sad smol ka'akum.
The buttons
are left. Okay. When l'amish sod. His gaivus the yamin al asma, there's maybe different reasons for it, but he says those that are followed this way, it's a good way to follow, the Yiras Shemayim, they should continue this way, the choshesh with the gra, what?
The
Bekesh is the other way. Yeah, so maybe, okay, whatever. So that's, maybe that's who the same way. Right, no, he says one of the reasons is because of that for sure.
Yeah, the right goes over the left.
Right, he says that's one of the reasons for sure. The heart covering, okay, but he says there are people who follow mamish because of chukas same mitzvah, so that's okay. Certainly what we've seen, and again, I apologize, but it's really not, it's very difficult to give a short shear on this because there's a lot of ramifications. But certainly when, if we're discussing what's coming up tomorrow night, to discuss New Year's, I don't think there's any lestad lahakel. I think that is a typical bechukasim lo teleifo. That's to say, I don't want to, I don't want to take off Martin Luther King's Day. I don't want to take off President's Day. Bechukasim lo teleifo. I don't understand. Thanksgiving also, I see why people say that, but clearly the reasons for New Year's is very clear. And therefore, yeah, we should spend our time. There's no problem getting together with family. There's no problem getting together b'chlal. Maybe the shiur should have been tomorrow night instead. But to have it called a New Year's party, to have the chutzpah calling it a New Year's party and to have firm people there, so that probably has at least a shmek of the b'chlusein lo teleicha, because that was the original reason why it was, to make resolutions of the like and things of that. So again, we have to ask our competent rabbanim what the source of this minhag is. And many times you'll see that even things that you think are goyish minhagim are actually our minhagim. We can definitely do them with a great degree of certainty because they've stolen it from us, which we've seen many times is really the way things are. Next week in Mirz Hashem, we go back to our regular schedule and we'll be discussing Baruch Shamar.